hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I'm on certain sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my countrymen, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting and falling down to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country. And you're walking on the fight beside me. I read about some squirrely guy who claims he just don't believe you fight. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They live on milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting in a fallen down feet. If you don't love it, leave it. Of this song I'm singing, be warned. When you run down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting in the fallen down key. If you don't love it, I'm singing, be warned. And you run down my country, man, you walking on the track beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on whiteresistanceradio.com or altrighttv.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. And of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning. in the European heartland. Lots to report. I hardly know where to start, but here's a report out of Hungary, and I really like the Hungarian leader, Viktor Orban. He's a strong nationalist and also a strong traditionalist, standing for common sense and traditional morality, and standing against the immigration invasion and the largely Islamic immigration invasion of Europe. And this is the latest. Hungary is to set biological gender into law in rejection of LGBT ideology. That's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and God knows what all else. Under protest from LGBT activist groups, Hungary's conservative government submitted a bill to Parliament which would replace the gender category in personal identification documents with birth gender, a new and unalterable category that focuses on biological gender. In other words, you are what you were born with. If you have a penis, you're a male. If you have a vagina, you're a female. If you have a male and identify as a female, you're a male. If you have a, if you're a male and identify as a sheep, you're still a male. The bill was submitted Tuesday night to Parliament by Christian Democrat Deputy Prime Minister Scholz Semyon, and also contains a number of other regulations the majority of which are related to the country's coronavirus measures. The new term will now appear on identification cards and other documents. One of the points in the bill contains a change to the 2010 Persons Registry Law, replacing the term gender with birth gender, which, according to the text of the law, is the biological gender defined by primary gender attributes and chromosomes. So you may be a male, and you may think you're a female, or you're a female and you think you're a male, or you'd like to be a male. Too bad, you are not. You will be identified with basically what you are biologically, not your mental messed up state of mind. A total of 15 LGBT groups and other NGOs, including Amnesty International and the Hungarian Helsinki Committee, have joined in protests saying that the proposed amendment is unconstitutional. You mean it's unconstitutional to say you can't choose your sex? I didn't say you can't choose whether to have sex, but you can't choose your sex. You are what you are. On the other hand, most Christian churches are in favor of the change, and social media response, while polarized, is also mostly supportive of the change. According to the 2019 Eurobarometer survey, 62% of Hungarians are Catholics, some 5% Protestants, and another 8% belong to other Christian denominations. This is perfect common sense that is going on in Hungary. Perfect common sense in Hungary. Chicago is ravished by the coronavirus pandemic, but not much common sense going on there. Chicago mayor signs executive order allowing illegal immigrants access to virus relief funds. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, I think that'll be Lori Lighthead, issued an executive order on April the 7th, allowing illegal immigrants and refugees in the city, regardless of birth country or current citizenship status, access to relief benefits amid the Communist Party of China's virus epidemic. Quote, this order will ensure that all Chicagoans have fair and equal access to benefits, opportunities, and services provided by the city, including anything provided as disaster relief to help fight the COVID virus. This order is more than just an official decree. It's a statement of our values as a city and as Americans, Lightfoot said. Amazing, isn't it? That illegals, now these are people illegally there, will have the rights to all, what does she say here? Equal access to all the benefits, opportunities, and services provided by the city, including disaster relief provided because of the COVID virus. It's insane. People who have not contributed to the United States, but worse than that, have invaded the United States, snuck into the United States, are to be given the same benefits as citizens of Chicago who have worked hard and paid the taxes. Statement went on to say, since COVID-19 first reached our city's doorsteps, we've been working around the clock to ensure all our residents are secure and supported, including our immigrant and refugee communities, who are among the most vulnerable to the impact of this pandemic. Well, I mean, they wouldn't be so vulnerable if they were back home. Quote, here in Chicago, saying we're all in this together means that during this crisis, no one gets left out and no one gets left behind, she says. Except the taxpayers, of course. Illegal immigrants who have no legal status in the United States do not meet the criteria for state unemployment insurance or other economic assistance, or the stimulus checks the federal government is sending out to all registered taxpayers as part of the $2 trillion coronavirus relief bill Congress passed late last month. According to the National Review, at least 280,000 illegal immigrants were working in Chicago in 2018. And that was based on a WBEZ analysis of census data. They were mostly concentrated around the sanctuary city of Chicago. Under the new order, the illegal immigrants will be able to receive benefits from Chicago's Housing Assistance Grants Program, which provides disaster relief aid for the housing costs faced by those impacted by the coronavirus pandemic. Students will also be offered online enrichment learning resources through Chicago's public schools, and small businesses will have access to the $100 million Chicago Small Business Resiliency Fund, which provides disaster relief cash flow to any entrepreneur, including immigrant business owners, maybe even illegal business owners, illegal immigrants, even if they manage to own a business. Michael Rodriguez, who serves as an alderman in the 22nd Ward in Chicago, said these Chicagoans are vital community members who work in various industries and help our great city to thrive every day, and our family members, co-workers, and neighbors. Yeah, but they're illegal. Clearly, Chicago desperately needs a man with the vision of Victor Orban. Well, Maxime Bernier is the leader of the People's Party of Canada, and he's a very clear thinker on a lot of good issues. And here's a comment he made about an issue I'm going to come back to a little later in the show, but policing to varying degrees in various parts of Canada have been fining people for walking a dog in a park, because sometimes the parks are public, you know, they belong to us, we pay for them, are being closed, allegedly because of the coronavirus pandemic. Or, in one case, an Ottawa man was playing soccer with his autistic four-year-old son, keeping a distance when kicking the soccer ball back and forth. And he says the son is a rambunctious young guy, and, they've been cooped up in a house, and you can stay at home, that's the urging. Well, he was in a park, and he was kicking a soccer ball back and forth. You'd say, well, that seems pretty harmless. Well, apparently not allowed. And another man was walking a dog in a park. Well, apparently you're only allowed to cross the park, not walk the dog. Well, why? Well, as I warned before, this coronavirus pandemic crisis, regardless of what you think about it, whether you think it's entirely phony, whether you think it's real, for real, the way we've been told, well, maybe not the way we've been told, we haven't been officially told in much of Canada that this is really the Wuhan flu, and it's out there because of the criminal negligence and cover-up of the Chinese Communist Party. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Regardless of what it is, I predicted that the rash of restrictive rules and orders and so on would become, to some extent, the new normal, and that it will be used as a way to gradually peel away many of the rights we believe in as citizens. Well, this is what Maxime Bernier said. There are more and more reports of unfair and arbitrary enforcement of social distancing rules. Memo to police: don't jeopardize public trust with power trips, especially only weeks after letting thugs paralyze the country with illegal barricades. Yeah, this has tended to go down the memory hole, but it was just, it's a little over a month ago, that railway lines and roads, in some cases, were blocked by an unholy alliance of radical Indians, and I emphasize, not all Indians. In fact, many Indian tribes agreed with the pipelines, but these were anti-pipeline protests, supposedly, by radical Indians and radical environmentalists. But blocking railway traffic, costing hundreds of millions of dollars of economic damage, and in most, not every case, but in most cases, the police, for weeks,
simply didn't enforce the law. In fact, the RCMP, in a statement by its chief commissioner, Brenda Lucky, said that enforcement was at the bottom of the list in a protocol for dealing with protests by what they erroneously call First Nations or Indians. They see, they're special. They even have a special protocol for how they're going to be dealt with. So Maxime's point is, and they're quite right, you didn't do a very good job about enforcing the law against radical terrorists who were disrupting essential travel in Canada and trespassing. I mean, they had absolutely no right to be there. So here you are in the parks writing tickets. These are big tickets. In some cases, they're $650. In other jurisdictions, up in the $1,500 range. This is dumb policing. Now, some people will argue, yes, but you don't want people congregating in the parks. You want to keep that social distance. Fair enough. Why not have the police just gently remind people, it's okay if you're here, but just keep that proper distance. And many Canadians are sick and tired of being treated like children. But because some people gathered in a park to play soccer, or some people were gathering on the beach, well, we're going to show you. We're closing it to everybody. Well, that's, you're not even really supposed to treat children like that. And I warned you, and I wish I were wrong, but you'll see more and more of this. And that's why it is so vitally important for citizens to push back. And don't let coronavirus be the new excuse for bullying or just plain thuggery. That's what it is. There are people, some people, you get into being a security guard or a law enforcement officer, who kind of get off on power tripping, being able to boss people around. Well, that's just not acceptable. You know, and if we don't insist on being treated like adults, believe me, there are evil forces in our society which will be only too happy not to treat us like adults. Well, a big bunch of chunk of noise has emerged just recently about blacks in the United States. There's always complaining, but the most recent is that blacks are wildly disproportionately dying from the coronavirus. I think one figure was that blacks are about 30% of the population of the city of New York, but are somewhere up around 60% of the deaths. And while blacks are a majority in New Orleans, apparently they are disproportionately sick and dying, and similarly in Detroit and Chicago. Now, when this is reported, it's often reported with a little bit of editorializing that blacks are a marginalized minority. How are they marginalized? They have the same opportunities whites do, in fact, in terms of employment, because of the pernicious affirmative action that was brought in 1965. That's like over 50 years ago, to give blacks a preferential treatment in many hiring situations, or preferential treatment in admissions to university. You would think over half a century of privileged position would change things. And blacks have significantly improved their economic status. So they don't really deserve to be called some sort of a marginalized minority. But anyway, the implication is that it's somehow our fault. The medical realities that are reported, sometimes before the little editorializing, are that blacks are in many cases quite unhealthy. Many are grotesquely obese. Many have heart or diabetes issues. Often, their nutrition is not good. Not because there isn't enough money to buy proper food, but many of their eating habits are poor. Now, all of that makes them or any other group sharing those characteristics vulnerable to the coronavirus, or vulnerable to not being able to fight it off. And that's similar with old people or old people that already have other chronic illnesses. If your body is already run down or weak, well then it makes you more vulnerable to the coronavirus. I think that's kind of important as we watch the ongoing development of this coronavirus. And the last few days, there's been quite a lot of reporting about how poorly blacks are doing. As long as this is a medical description, then fair enough. It makes a lot of sense. Though sometimes it becomes just one more reason to trash white people. Here is a short clip from Steve Bannon. Always like Steve Bannon's commentary, and if I can find it here. This was something Steve Bannon said just recently. Said this about the Red Chinese. Let me see here if I can scare this up again. Yes, here we are. This is from YouTube, and Steve Bannon swears that the American thief, Henry Kissinger, is as bad as the Chinese Communist Party. He says, "I will fight with you to the last moment of life to fight for Chinese freedom." This is Steve Bannon recently on TV. This is not, I just called up, it's not Steve Bannon. I think we might find this here. Okay. we sometimes do have our problems, don't we? I'll try that, try another way. I posted this up just recently on Twitter. Let's see if we have a bit more.
Henry Kissinger, I do not need to hear from you about the liberal world order at the Post. You are guilty, sir. You are guilty. You think you got blood on your hands for the bombings back in the Vietnam War? You have blood on your hands for this. You have been the mouthpiece and the prop for these people from the beginning. You propped up the Chinese Communist Party, and not just that, you took the blood money from them. You've been paid for decades by the Chinese Communist Party. It's all going to come out. All the Wall Street guys in business with them, all the corporatists in business with them, all the think tank guys in business with them taking blood money, it's all coming out. And the world is going to stand in judgment of you because you're just as bad as the devils. In fact, you're worse. You knew about the Falun Gong. You knew about the organ harvesting. You knew about East Turkestan and the Uyghurs. You knew about the Dalai Lama and the Tibetan Buddhists. You knew about the underground house Christians. You knew about the underground Catholic Church. You knew about the Tiananmen Square Freedom Movement. Every person in China that's ever fought for freedom, you knew about. And you worship at the foot of a totalitarian dictatorship. There's blood on your hands. And trust me, to my last breath, we're going to hunt you down and expose it all. And we'll start with Kissinger. That outrageous. We don't care what you've got to say about the liberal order. Okay? All the death and destruction is because you kowtowed these people and you put on a nice front. There's blood on your hands, sir. And what you should do is come before the American people and the people in the world and say, I apologize. I was wrong. I took money from them, and I ran interference for them, okay? And yet you come up with this crap? You make me sick. And everybody that supports you makes me sick. All of you phony think tank guys have taken their money. They're guilty, and they're going to be proven guilty. And we have the facts of what they're guilty. And that doesn't even say if it was a biological weapon or came out of the lab. If that happens, and this is not racist, we fight for the freedom of the Chinese people. It's the Chinese people who have borne the brunt of these devils. For decades and decades and decades, and we look the other way. Why do we look the other way? For money. Because it's more profitable to have a slave labor in China make it than working class people in Michigan and Pennsylvania. You people.
Well, that was, really well said by Steve Bannon. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side. I mean, I wasn't quite sure how this would happen, but didn't take too long before one of the biggest Jewish lobbyists in Canada, an anti-free speecher, Bernie Farber, would get into it. Somehow or other, it might seem a little obscure at first, but he managed to connect the coronavirus crisis to the Holocaust, well, the so-called Holocaust. you wonder, that does seem like a bit of a stretch, but yes, Bernie M. Farber managed to do that. And here's Bernie Farber, incidentally, is now he's the chair, though that seems to suggest he's a piece of furniture, but he's actually the chairman of something called the Canadian Anti-Hate Network. What's the Canadian Anti-Free Speech Network, really? So Bernie M. Farber used to be the CEO of the Canadian Jewish Congress. He was that for a good many years, and the Canadian Jewish Congress kind of morphed into a new organization called the Center for Israel and Jewish Affairs, and for whatever reason, Bernie Farber parted ways. Well, this is part of an article he wrote in today's National Post. Surviving the Grave, a story of isolation and resiliency for these COVID-19 times. Again, you may find this a bit of a stretch. How do we get from COVID to... this is a Bernie Farber's father's story. And he starts off with an introduction about lockdown, self-isolation, physical distancing. It goes on to talk about the isolation and loneliness and loss that people may be feeling now because of the COVID-19 crisis. And he says there's some important lessons to be learned from the past about how people bore pain and sorrow. I know because I'm the son of a son of a Holocaust survivor. Oh, as I was going to say, he's the son of a... I better not go there. Most survivors today more than understand what it means to be isolated and alone. Their stories of survival can give us hope. Well, not to be argumentative, but the events of World War II ended in 1945. That was 75 years ago. How many people who survived that, with any memory, are even around today? But let's not ruin a good story with the facts. He talks about his father, Max, who died in 1990. And Father Max was a Jew who allegedly escaped from the ghetto in the Polish village of Brocky after the Germans moved the Jews there into
a larger ghetto, and then supposedly was moving them to in 1943 to Treblinka, which is a detention camp. Anyway, supposedly Max escaped and ended up with a non-Jewish Polish friend named Julian, who hit him on his farm for 4 months. And this is the description. Julian and Max, Bernie Farmer's father, built a tiny underground cellar. My father called it the grave. It was essential that no one discover their plan. Sadly, some Poles turned Jews into the National Socialists. Had he been discovered, at least according to Bernie Farmer, Julian and Max would have been shot. During the day, my father would lie prone in the grave, breathing through a straw. At night, Julian would come for him, and they would walk into the forest, play chess, to keep his spirits up. When the despair would become too much, Julian would always say to him, "Do not fear, you are my brother. As long as I will be alive, you will be alive." Well, not to rain on a good story, but they dug what, a grave? It was a cellar. And apparently Farmer Sr. would lie there during the day and breathe through a straw. I have trouble picturing this. As I say, not to rain on a good story, but anyway. And so he lived this life in the grave. Well, you know, okay, he had to hide. But every night he was able to get out, go into the forest, play chess. Don't ask me, how do you play chess in the middle of the night? The stories don't necessarily have to make much sense. And unfortunately, many of the stories are so-called Holocaust survivors. And actually, Bernie Farmer is not a survivor. He's the son of a survivor, or claims to be. Many of the stories are simply not being challenged because when they are, they fall apart as being ridiculous. For instance, this was part of a book, and it was made, a satirical song was made about a woman by the name of Irene Sisblatt, who said she was in Auschwitz, and she was entrusted with a family fortune, which was diamonds. And every day she said she swallowed the diamonds, and every night she shat them out or defecated them out, would pick out the diamonds again and swallow them. This is how she hid them all through the war. I mean, incidentally, of course, she did not get executed, did she? The story borders on the preposterous. Can you imagine sifting through your own excrement for these diamonds? Would they always come out? I mean, who knows? I mean, the story is ludicrous. And until it was challenged by people like Alison Chablot, a great danger to herself. She's severely punished by the British law. If you try to put something over on me, then I think I have a right to question it. Now, yeah, frankly, Bernie Farmer can believe any old family tale he wants. And many of these tales really tend to the dramatic. Whatever he wants to believe is fine. But if he wants me to believe it, or more to the point, use this as a big boo-hoo-hoo, we who are so Holocaust survivors. Oh, well, actually, I'm not, but son of a Holocaust survivor. we understand what it's like to be alone, lonely, and so on and so on. Frankly, it's just a little bit too cute. Then I think we get into something a little bit more interesting, rather than the grave. And so he lived this life in the grave for over 4 months. So, you know, he wasn't like he spent the whole war in this little cellar. 4 months. Until Julian was able to contact the Russian partisans, and my father no longer wanting to put Julian and his family in peril, left to fight the Nazis with the underground. Now, need a little bit of background explanation here. He left to join the communists as a partisan to attack the Germans. And that's important. He was, he either was or certainly made common cause with the communists. And there is one of those factoids that is very often not mentioned in the boo-hoo-hoo stories about Jews in World War II. Why were Jews fairly widely disliked in Germany and in Eastern Europe? Perhaps especially in Eastern Europe. Well, there's a story there. The major players in the Communist Party in the Russian Revolution were not Russians, but were Jews. In East European countries, the leadership of the Communist Party in Poland, in Hungary, in Romania, were Jews. Jews played a very prominent role in the Communist Party. And to the extent the Communist Party, when they gained power, suppressed and oppressed people, Jews were seen as being with the oppressors. The list of Communist Party leaders who were Jews is widespread at the end of the Second World War in Romania, Anna Paukar, in Hungary, right after the First World War, Bela Kun. Many of the operatives of the Communist Party in Hungary were Jews. The major communist leaders in Poland were Jews. Were all Jews communists? Of course not. But Jews played a very big role in this very dangerous and subversive movement. Is there any wonder they were widely disliked? It may not be an argument for murdering people, and I'm not suggesting it should be, but in coming to a balanced understanding of history, it's important that that we realize these things. Well, somehow I have a subscription, which I have never paid for and have no intention of ever paying for, to something called the Anglican Journal, and it also contains an insert called Crosstalk from the Diocese of the Anglican Diocese of Ottawa, and in the I force myself to go through it. Most of the stuff is just intolerable claptrap, but here's an editorial from the April 2020 issue. Deep divisions and ongoing racism haunt and block the path to reconciliation, by Leanne Williams, a beautiful looking redheaded woman, and on this page there's this pompous little notice. Crosstalk acknowledges that we publish on the unceded traditional territory of the Algonquin Anishinaabe Nation. May we dwell on this land with peace and respect. Well, it may or may not have belonged to the Algonquins at one point. It now largely belongs to non-Algonquins, to Europeans. But why should there be this this simpering, guilty little acknowledger. Anyway, she talks about the issue I talked about a bit earlier, the blockades of railways and roads that was going on in January and February. She makes this comment, what haunts me and pushes me to write now are the deep divisions and ongoing racism within Canada that this conflict has exposed. Also, if you disagree with the radical Native agenda, you're a racist. Yeah, that's a pretty easy construction. In a Globe and Mail article entitled Reconciliation is a Dead, It's Never Been Tried, author Tanya Talaga, who's an Indian activist, recounted overhearing a woman in a Toronto hair salon railing, "Can you believe those natives? What should we do with them?" She paused for a minute before she answered her own question. "Lock them up and throw away the key." Now, Regal is like ranting and speaking in wild and repetitive terms. I don't think this woman was doing that. She was referring to the radical Indians who were repeatedly breaking the law and getting away with it. And that's racism. And continuing the quotation, every single First Nation person living in Canada has experienced a similar moment in the past 2 weeks. A snide comment as you walk by, a sideways sneer from across the street, or a loud pronunciation or racist comment hurled at you out in public somewhere. A loud pronunciation? I don't even know what that means. According to the author that Leanne Williams is quoting, every single Native person has had an experience like that in the last 2 weeks. I'll tell you why that's nonsense. A lot of Natives have been so intermarried, you can't necessarily, the person doesn't necessarily even know they are a Native. It speaks to us, speaks to the great divide between us, the line you can't see, that undercurrent of quiet racism that runs undeterred through Canadian history, causing an explosion onto the rails, into the walls, and spontaneous round dances occurring from coast to coast. Again, very hard to know what she's even referring to. So apparently, then a little bit further on, quoting an Indian Bishop Mark MacDonald, who's addressing the anger and divisiveness generated by the avalanche of bias and misrepresentation regarding the complex issues involved in this cross-cultural catastrophe centuries in the making. It is next to impossible for people to listen to or to hear each other, says this Indian. Well, notice that if you oppose the apparent right of six hereditary chiefs among the Wet'suwet'en to block a multi-million dollar pipeline, which many Indian bands have approved and for which they'll benefit. If you have any objection to that, well, you're just hopelessly biased and you want to tear the nation apart. This is the most appalling propaganda. I don't oppose this Leanne Williams having these views or whatever, but what I do object to is that they are associated with the Anglican Church. And that's one of the reasons the churches are more and more empty. Well, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me. I'm going to take my musical break right now and I'll play some bluegrass music as I have the last few nights. Hope you enjoy it. This is a selection of bluegrass music. All right.
was in no limb. Ma said chicken Bandinetta got him, wrung his neck and picked him clean. Funniest chicken I ever seen.
Hey, Bandinetta, oh, Bandinetta, hey, Bandinetta, you're the one for me.
Three tracks and just one dot, and that says, who you think I am? That hog's missing about one ham.
Hey, Baffinette, oh, Baffinette, hey, Baffinette, you're the one for me.
Sits behind the bars.
Hey, Baffinette, oh, Baffinette, hey, Baffinette, you're the one for me.
Nanny put on her Sunday dress, thought that it would look the best, made out of an old feet side, thought the feet wrote right on the back.
Hey, Baffinette, oh, Baffinette,
here's one for me. Mother's got a pair of shoes and she can wear them if she'll choose. So why the heck she got the blues when wants to wear a size 22?
Hey, Baffinette, oh, Baffinette, hey, Baffinette, here's one for me.
Thank you. red vine redbird stepping on the lee. Wants to lift your head around and talks more to me. Rabbit, rabbit, hopping on the log. Rabbit, rabbit, hopping on the log. Please don't kick the dust for my little puppy dog. Redbird, redbird, stepping on the lead. Redbird, redbird, stepping on the lead. Watch me turn your head around and talk some more to me.
Paul from, you're on the fighting side of me, back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern time, and sign off tomorrow as I always do with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul from, and you're on the fighting side of me.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together. The thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever.